says, what's the text? I go, all right, so I gave him the text I thought he was reading for us today. Luke 2. Turn to Luke 2. Thought it was a neat little daddy section. Starting at verse 41, though. Luke 2, verse 41. Click it through your phones and everything. Here we go. Got it? This is Jesus in the temple. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it, thinking that when he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and at his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. There ends the text. Children, I'd like you to come down. Good morning, good morning. How many of you have ever wandered off and got lost? Any of you? A few of you, yeah. Every once in a while, we start walking away and we forget in the store or someplace else. And then mom and dad, how many of you ever had to get a spanking for wandering off or anything? I used to get those once in a while. Sometimes you wander off when you're little. Sometimes you wander off when you're big. That's even a different problem. We got a few of those that, you know, wanderers, and we just pray they come back. But wandering off is kind of an interesting thing. And what I wanted to talk about is Jesus right now. Jesus does something really interesting. His mom and dad are doing the thing that they're doing, and he goes into the church and he sits down and he begins talking to the big old people. And he knows so much, and he loves his father so much, that they're very stunned. It says they were in shock by what he knew. And so as he was asking them questions, and they were talking to him, they were just amazed. And he did this for 3 days. His mom and dad had no idea where he was for 3 days. That's a long time. That's a long time. When they found him, his mom looks at him and he goes, "Hey, didn't you know we were looking for you? Don't you understand what you've put us through? We've been frantic, we've been terrified." And Jesus looked at them, his mother and his father, and he said, "Why are you so surprised? Didn't you know where I would be? Didn't you know I would be with my father? About my father's business, in my father's house." Now, what's interesting about that? Don't know? Good. You get to pick a treat. You cannot eat it until you can answer the question. And if you want to know if you can eat your candy, you got to tell your dad the correct answer. And he will say, "Yep, you got it. You can have a piece of candy, unless they're real little. Then you got to give them to right away." Because I want no crying babies on my candy account. So, you got that? No, no candy until you figure, what's the question? Don't even, well, no, what's unusual about him saying, didn't you know I would be in my father's house? Don't tell me. Shh, now it's a secret. You have to go tell your dad. And when it's time to tell your dad, you think you've got it figured out? Stand up, you've got brothers and sisters. In his ear. Okay? And if he says, yep, you got it, shh, don't tell anyone else. They all got to figure it out by themselves, unless they're real little and start to cry. Here you go. You grab one. There you go. There's two different kinds in there. One's a roll, one's a little packet. Whatever one you want.
Can we get one for our mom?
No, it's not Mother's Day today. But your mom can, she can tell you.
I just get one.
If there's just mothers here, they can tell you.
Can we get one for our dad?
He's not here, honey. There you go. There you go, honey. There you go.
Hey, what's next?
Yeah, they got there, right there. Some of y'all know I have a little bit of country on my side, and there's a song that blessed my socks off. We used to sing it in my group that we were part of. It's bluegrass. Not exactly country, but it has that kind of drawl stuff that some of you are going to, oh, yuck. But please, put up with me today, all right? I'm going to play a song for you. It's called On My Father's Side. And it's what I wanted you to know and understand on Father's Day. It is the song focuses, it says, on my mother's side, and then it focuses on my father's side. And you'll hear the response. And it's the story of Jesus in the temple. And I thought the song just blessed me so much because it reflects a little bit of who we are. In other words, we have these kind of, and I don't want you to hear on my mother's side like something bad. I want you to hear it on my almost like earthly side, on my the part I inherited from mom and dad. But I'll explain that a little bit more after you've heard it. But the questions are asked, what's your name, son? How old are you? Where are you from? What are your plans? And then you'll hear the response. So close your eyes, grit your teeth, whatever you have to do. Little bluegrass moment. Here we go. And kill the lights for the... Maybe we can make it a little bigger.
Just a young boy. Shared with the doctors, they were so amazed. Never had they seen one so young, speak so swift. They asked him many questions, conversation went like this.
What's your name, son?
On my mother's side, my name is Jesus, but side, they call me Emmanuel.
How old are you?
On my mother's side, now I'm 12 years. But on my father's side, I've just always been.
Where are you from?
On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. But on my father's side, New Jerusalem.
What's your plan?
On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. But on my father's side, in 3 days I'll arise, and I'll sit at my father's side.
Son of man, and I can't help but wonder how Joseph must have felt. Through an open door that day, he heard his son reply, He said, you see, I'm the King of Kings that's on my Father's side.
What's your name, son?
On my mother's side, my name is Jesus. But on my Father's side, they call me Emmanuel.
How old are you?
On my mother's side, now I'm 12 years. But on my Father's side, I've just always been.
Where are you from? What's your plan?
On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. But on my Father's side, in 3 days I'll arise. And I'll sit at my Father's side.
As a father, there's always those questions. We were talking about it in Bible study this morning of whether you've done it all well enough, whether you've been good enough, whether you have accomplished what you were supposed to accomplish with your children. And so I wanted to focus on this idea of who's your daddy. Now, I know you have a physical father, and he may or may not have been everything you wanted him to be. You know, God willing, I would say, you know, I wish all of us had perfect fathers. I know my children did not have a perfect father. I know my children had to deal with all of my idiosyncrasies and inconsistencies and being tired or being moody or all the different things that seems to happen to a man. Even if he doesn't want to be that way, he can still sometimes be that way. And so there are many times when I blame myself or hold myself accountable for quirks or characteristics, or my kids point out, we're just like you, Dad. You know, and they kind of wag their finger in my face, and we either laugh or I start to cry, depending upon what the issue is. But who's your daddy? And I wanted the kids to see if they could figure out this question, because something really unusual happens in this story, and the song addresses it, that here's Jesus and he's talking with Mary and Joseph, and Joseph is standing there and Joseph hears the words out of Jesus' mouth, didn't you know I needed to be about my Father's business? I needed to be in my Father. I needed to be working with my Father. And here's Joseph, and he's hearing these words, and Jesus is saying something really, really significant. Here it comes, kids. What is it? Who's his daddy? God the Father. Very good. Well done. God the Father is the one who is his father, and his earthly father has to take this step away and understand this process. Now, we don't read what Joseph's response was or reaction, but I do know that that moment had to take place to some degree in Joseph's heart. There is that awareness that, you know, in Jesus' situation, that Jesus was honoring his father, and his father was not the same, you know, not exactly Joseph in the sense, even though he fulfilled all the fatherly responsibilities. And we're going to address that in just a little while. But I want you to understand that moment. It's very, very important. Jesus says, didn't you know I would be about my Father, or in my Father's, the Greek said. Didn't you know I'd be with and doing what my Father's called me to do? So I wanted to address a reality. I wanted to address two things. One, for a father, I want you to hear that you're not the final word. I want you to hear forgiveness. I want you to hear mercy. I want you to hear the tenderness of the Heavenly Father whispering to you that I love this son, this daughter, this child, even when you couldn't. I want you to understand that there is an intimacy of relationship that you have with the Heavenly Father that releases you, that sets you free, that gives you an ability to understand something from this story. And the part that I want you to understand, here stands Joseph. Here is the Heavenly Father, however you want to picture them. And Jesus looks over at his mother and father over there and says, didn't you know that I would have to be in the Father? Didn't you know where I would be? Didn't you understand? And at that point, Mary, it says, did not understand. Joseph did not fully comprehend. But it says later on that Mary pondered those things in her heart. So what struck me is this thought and this concept. What I wanted us to understand today is that if my father wasn't perfect, if my father had inconsistencies, and maybe some of your fathers had them, they had some quirkinesses, they had some moodinesses, they had some inconsistencies that may have been downright evil. They may have been destructive. They have walked away. They have left the marriage. They have dumped you as a son or a daughter. They have not been what they were supposed to be. This sermon is about my daddy, the one that I'm supposed to be in, the one that I'm supposed to copy, Jesus Christ, the one that I want to be able to say when I'm done with this sermon, didn't you know that I would have to be about my father's business? Didn't you understand? Or as the Greek says it, didn't you know I would have to be in my father? Because if you discover that, you're going to discover some of the things that I picked up out of the song that I wanted you to hear. Because in the contrast, you have the reality. From my earthly father, I inherit earthly qualities. It has to do with everything from looks, partially the intelligence, partially everything else, sometimes skills, sometimes appreciation of the out of doors, whatever your father taught you. Sometimes you're the opposite because you got in one of those toods and you said, whatever my dad says, I'm going to go in the other direction. So we all can relate to that side. But the part I want to focus on is who my daddy really is, who my heavenly father really is. Because I'm convinced as a dad myself that if I could stand in a temple where my son and my daughter said, Dad, didn't you know I'd have to be about the Father's business? Didn't you know I'd have to be in the Father? The last thing I would feel would be left out. The last thing I would feel would be rejection. The last thing that would happen to me would be tears of sadness. They would be tears of joy because here's this child, this gift from God, who has now reached a point where he or she now understands what it's really all about. I'm supposed to be in the Father. I'm supposed to be here resting in God. This is where I'm supposed to be. Why would you be surprised? And I'd look back and say, I don't know, I'm sorry. Praise God, this is wonderful. This is the best day of my life. Isn't it realistic for a father, an earthly father with a heavenly heart, to look at his son or his daughter and say, she understands. He knows Jesus. She recognizes her whole life is set apart unto him. And you step back and you go, thank you, Jesus. This is now, I have a different relationship with this child. Instead of just seeing myself as this dad who has to invest and earn money and do all the things fathers sometimes can focus on, I can walk up right next to the son or daughter and say, yeah, we got to be about the Father's business, don't we? And we get it. It's that moment when you finally recognize my job as a father is to help my child get to that point that Jesus was speaking of when he's 12 years old. And age has nothing to do with it. It's when my child finally understands, you're my daddy in the sense that you're my physical daddy and I'll love you like that or I'll appreciate you or I'll struggle with you or whatever it is. But here is my father. Here is where I need to be. Here's where my life needs to be focused. Here's what it's all really all about. And at that point, you begin to understand this is what his parents, it says, didn't understand, but Jesus got it. He said, this is what I've really come for. Why do you think you're here? You think you're here to make money? You think you're here to just worry about this particular moment? It says, you are to be about the Father's business in everything you think and everything you do. You are to be one with your Heavenly Father. You're supposed to be so into your Father's business that if He calls you and encourages you or brings you to one spot or another, you say, yes, Lord, here I am. Go feed the poor. Yes, Lord, here I am. Go preach to those that don't know. Yes, Lord, here I am. Go touch the... And if my Father has failed in anything, the Heavenly Father looks at me and says, don't look over your shoulder. Don't walk around blaming Him. You don't understand His life. You don't understand why He does what He does. You may not comprehend why He did what He did or why He failed in the way He failed. Here's where I want you to focus. Focus here. Set your eyes on Me. You are no accident. You are a part of My plan, My kingdom call. My everything is centered on you. And as you understand that, you begin to walk where Jesus walked as this 12-year-old going, I know I am to be in the Father. I know that's where my life is to be focused. And so the challenge on front of us is to sit there and go and be releasing sometimes fathers that need release. Sometimes they just need to be forgiven. Sometimes they didn't do it all right. Sometimes we blew it. And here's the other point of release. You need to forgive yourself, not like you make excuses for it, but you've repented for it. You have dealt with it honestly. Who with? My Heavenly Father. And He looks at me and He says, I saw you working at being a father down there. Yes, Lord. Had some struggles, didn't you? Yes, Lord, I did. I need you to tell your children you're sorry. Okay, Lord. I need you to confess it as sin. Okay, Lord. But then I want to give you the victory. You see, the song creates this kind of on my mother's side, my father's side. And this is not a mother-father, you know, this is an antagonistic thing against mothers or fathers. This is going on my earthly side, who I am in Christ. On my earthly side, who I am in Christ. On my earthly side, who I am in Christ. And the thing that I want you to understand is when you start to recognize Father's Day as a day set apart for you to honor your Heavenly Father, as for you to be released from the things that you have done wrong or inconsistently, or for you to start understanding that God is more than able to take a confession, a repentant heart, a broken spirit, and bring about the changes that are needed in your life or the lives of people you've affected or infected in some cases. And what God is doing in this moment is He wants to give you the very message of the song, in the sense that He wants to speak to your heart, and He says the same things to you. He goes on the What's Your Name, Son, the song, and I just goes, on my mother's side, I have an earthly name. My name is Bruce. But on my father's side, I'm a child of the King. I am part of the royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. I am a man set apart unto Jesus. I am a king's kid. How old are you? On my mother's side, I'm old. But on my father's side, each day is brand new. Age has no definition. Age has no limitation. If God can take, I've always liked to tell you, if God can take Moses at 80, some of you just arrived at getting to be useful to God. And the answer is, but on my Father's side, I have this power, this mercy, this grace that God has poured out into my life. This is His gift to me, that age becomes irrelevant. Age becomes something that is only defined by that mother's side, and I do not have to allow it to limit me or direct me or tell me what I can or can't accomplish or anything else like that. Where are you from? On my mother's side. I'm from Bethlehem. This is where I've been. These are the things I've done. This is the man I've become. These are my shortcomings. And then I did this wrong. And, you know, on my mother's side, those things, all that history, all that baggage, all that stuff that accomplishes and accumulates in one's life is over here. And then I step on this other side, New Jerusalem. I came from the heart of God. Before I was ever born, God already knew me. I am a child that has the mercy and the grace of God and the call of the Holy Spirit on his heart and the working of God's Spirit in empowering my life. That kind of flavor of what it goes on. It says, what are your plans? On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. On my mother's side, I'm going to wear out and grow old. On my mother's side, I'm going to get tired. On my mother's side, I won't be consistent. On my mother's side, on that part of who I am is all those things that are limiting and struggling. And yet on my father's side, I win. On my father's side, I have a victory in Jesus Christ. On my father's side, he has called me to stand in the gap, to accomplish what he calls me to accomplish, and he fights the battle. And the power of the Holy Spirit goes upon me and in me and around me. And on my father's side, I stand here in the armor of Christ, and I can stand against the attack of the enemy, and nothing can defeat me, no matter what, because in Christ we are more than conquerors. In Christ we have accomplished what God wants us to accomplish. And so in the mercy of God, you've got this contrast. In the mercy of God, I hope Joseph's heart eventually finally looked at Jesus and said, this is cool, son. I understand what you've said. I understand the power. Isn't it really a dream of every father and mother in the room? That our child will look at Scripture and look at God and say, you're my father, aren't you? Yeah. You created me, didn't you? And you sent me your Holy Spirit so I could understand. And you give me the gift of life. And you've called me from death into life. And you continue to work in my life. And you enter into that intimacy with God. And you walk with God. And the power of God is in your life. And you begin to understand why that song began to minister to my spirit. So the second part, he said, he is the Son of God and yet the Son of Man. I can't help but wonder how Joseph must have felt. Through an open door that day, he heard his son reply. He said, you see, I'm the King of Kings. That's on my father's side. If I had my wish, I would stand on my father's side and say, I want my kids to know you're the King of Kings. I want them to be able to forgive me for my inconsistencies because of who they are in you. I want them to understand intimately what a real relationship with you is, Jesus. I want them to confess all of these things and have it demonstrate in their life as real and sincere. And God's heart, that's his heart on that side. So the encouragement or the challenge that I want to present to you today is, don't focus on this side. Allow this side to be the stimulant in your life. Allow who you are and who your daddy is to minister to you when you've been wounded by this father or this mother or this situation in your life. Allow this relationship to feed and nurture you. Allow this relationship to guide your life. Allow this relationship to help you understand through all the complexities of everything from politics to emotions to feelings to circumstances to social issues that we all go through. Allow this side, because that's my dad, because this is where I need to be, that's where I need to rest, and that's whom I need to stay. God calls his children to live and rest in the Father. He calls us to dwell in God, in the Spirit. The words and the passages that we read that are all over the place about a royal priesthood and God's own people and all the different things, the stones of the temple put together, those are all here on my father's side. And God says, don't you dare let anyone drag you back to just this side. Try to understand. One day, the gates of heaven will open for you. One day, you will stand and you will understand all things that I have promised you. Everything is here on my Father's side. Everything is here where Jesus understood it. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, as fathers, we recognize that we need to stand on the Father's side in our own life. That in some cases there are wounds and hurts and blessings and all kinds of things we have to sort through from our earthly life. But in you, Lord, they start to make sense. In you, Lord, we begin to forgive. In you, Lord, you bring healing. In you, Lord, you give us new eyes to look at our dads like we've never looked at them before. In you, Lord, we are able to forgive them whether they're alive or they're dead. In you, Lord, we are more than able to understand ourselves, our strengths, and our weaknesses. And you, as the perfect Father, reach your arms into our life, hold us close to you, and whisper that we are a treasure, that we are the apple of your eye, and that we belong to you. And so I pray, Lord, in whatever situation we're in, we would be about your business. We would be about focusing on the things that you have called us to do and be. We're asking, Lord, that in your grace you would work in our hearts, that we would manifest that kind of attitude and life and that kind of behavior very consistently. Lord Jesus, bless the men of this congregation. Guard their hearts and draw them close to you, whether they're young or old. And then, Lord, I pray a grace young girls of our congregation. I pray for the spirit of joy to just overshadow them. I pray that they would have a deeper understanding of life, people, circumstances, themselves. I pray that they would grow in confidence. I pray, Lord, that your hand of mercy would very much be upon them. That as some are mothers and some are grandmothers and some are great-grandmothers, Lord, that you would give them the strength to do that well. And I pray, Lord, that in all things, you would be honored today. And so, happy Father's Day, Father. And bring your mercy into all of our lives. We pray it in your name.